Hello and welcome back to Ride with the Frostmaiden. My name is Jay Trier and we are back in the frozen north. On the last episode, our companions journeyed to the Sea of Moving Ice in the hope of finding a way to Oriel's Island. They are chasing someone called Nass, who, if I guess careful listeners have picked up, was actually Grigor's apprentice. She has stolen the real Professor's Orb and is in hunt of something called the Codicle of White, one of Oriel's artifacts, which is rumored to be allow them to travel deep into the Reghead Glacier and access the lost city of Netherorn. Our party are now sitting on the edge of a pier, a dock, talking with a strange creature, an awakened beast known as Angerjack, an enormous narwhale, who has invited them, after a little persuasion, to ride on its back and journey through the frozen ocean or through the freezing depths to the Isle of Solstice. And I think we left you as you were about to climb onto its back. On Angerjack's sort of tough skin along its spine, there is a strange wooden contraption, at least you think it's wooden, which sort of looks like a minibus if you sort of chopped the roof off, with some sort of uncomfortable benches or uncomfortable looking benches. And he sort of motions for you to...
I can do tourist chips.
...to jump on.
Anger Jeff.
If you're... if you want to journey to our island, just climb on my back and I'll dive down under the ice. It moves pretty fast, but I have an idea of where she was heading when I last saw her.
All right. We're grateful for this. Thank you very much. And I'd like to, I guess, get onto the narwhal taxi.
You step onto the wood and you immediately look down and realize that the wood is not wet, which doesn't make any sense because the whale has literally just lifted itself out of the ocean, or himself out of the ocean.
Hmm. All right.
Apparently what is going on? Heated seats.
Hmm. Heated seats, yeah, it's a convertible.
come on, don't tally. Yeah, come head on. Off, it's a daze. It's 4 days travel to get there.
All right.
Okay. Come on, guys, let's go.
All right.
I guess we all bundle in, yeah?
Okay.
Salazar, like, picks up Lady Penguin and, like, really bad lifting.
Nope. Is he gone again?
We lost Eric.
What a beautiful freeze.
He's frozen in a horrible
position. Let me grab that real quick.
Yeah, well, I gotta get a screenshot of that.
Got it. Don't worry, it's gonna be up on Discord in a second.
I mean, it's immortal through Twitch anyway. Hey, Owen.
I'm back again. I'm frozen. Guessing it was a good.
It was a good free frame.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Okay, so you step onto these wooden benches, and before you have time to even catch your breath, Angerjack lifts up and then ducks straight down into the icy water. You all kind of panic for a moment before you realize you're looking up into a bubble which has formed around the decking. It's probably only about 7 foot high. In fact, Gon, you are dangerously close to touching the edge, even in the center of the bubble, let alone the outsides. And you see through it sort of semi-translucent membrane, Angerjack flying deeper and deeper through the frozen waters, and they're not dead. There's all sorts of strange creatures seen in the distance, bright lights and odd movements, silvery flashes and the occasional red flash of a jellyfish, which disappears into Angerjack's gullet. You can hear his sonorous voice speaking through the floor, the echo of his speech coming up through the wood itself.
There's some very interesting sights on this journey. I'll act as your guide. When we see something of note, I'll bring you attention to it. For now, you probably have a good 8 hours till you see the next thing. So buckle in and enjoy.
I love these going, this is your captain speaking.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm seeing, like on a whale boat tour or something like that.
Keep your hands and feet inside the bubble at all times.
please don't forget your Duke merch. I've got Duke merch in the back seat.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we're going through the water. Is there anything else we can do right now? Anything we need to do?
I'll pick up a narwhal hat. Like, it's got a horn on the front of it. Off the back seat.
It's up to you. Is there anything, is there a conversation you want to have? Is there anything you want to discuss? Or do you want to just push on until we find out what happens in 8 hours?
Short rest?
We could probably do a long rest.
It'd be a long rest if you need to, yeah.
Cool, long rest. I can do my flashes of geniuses. They feel handy.
Sweet. Yeah, for sure.
Would be overnight, absolutely. Yeah, this would be as you travel through the darkness.
So we're actually what else are we getting? Our D&D temporary hit points back? Boom.
So at any point does anyone want to investigate the bubble?
I think all of us do.
While we're underwater.
I think poking at it with a knife.
He'd make it first. What would you do? Does anyone want to poke it with a knife? Yeah.
No, thank you.
I put my hand out through it just to be like, you know, what actually happens while we're moving.
Okay, it's can you
your arm gets torn off.
Save me. Yeah,
what do you think, is wet paint?
Yeah, can you give me a constitution saving throw?
Oh, God.
It's DC 10. As you plunge your hand through the bubble as if it's nothing, as if it's water. That's what it feels like, running your hand, you know, like through a tap or through a waterfall, but immediately into the incredibly icy depths beneath, which begin to freeze your skin and hurt you to your very core.
Okay, so
you immediately take on one level of exhaustion, but luckily you have a long rest, so you will recover before it impedes upon everything. But you are shocked, well, maybe not shocked, by how cold the waters are beyond. But yeah, sorry, Kestrel.
Very cold, everybody.
Do you to investigate before
Kestrel stuck his hand. Graham do this because she's about to not stick her hand through it, but like just to go to press her hand against it. She watches what happens, sees the look of shock and cold, thinks better of it, and instead, I think she just wants to figure out what it is that's causing this. Like, is this something that the whale itself is doing? Is it an enchantment that's been placed on this boat? I think her concern is like, how easy is this for it to just stop working?
Very, very deep right now as well. So give me an arcana roll, or you can give me investigation.
I mean, they're both the same for me, so. But I'll go arcana, that seems to make sense. Oh God, no, that's the worst. I rolled the one, friends.
Okay, I think as you're kind of leaning towards the edge of this this deck, and you notice there's a silvery band, probably only 1 inch thick, that circles the circumference of the deck, and that seems to be generating this bubble, but you kind of lean a bit too close. And suddenly, like, the top of your head just disappears through the bubble.
It's the horns going through the bubble.
And you're kind of doused in freezing cold water. So again, you would need a constitution save, but because there's going to be a long rest, it's kind of moot, so I won't make you make it. But it is quite unpleasant, and you are sort of, your breath is taken away
from
you.
She shrieks. She doesn't realise her horns are going through it. She's trying to look. And then there is a scream from the back of the boat, the sound of water splashing, and Kestra, who does not like the cold, just standing there like, don't touch the bubble.
Yeah, no, and I'm standing behind you holding my hand going, yep.
She shares a look with Graham, just like, We did something stupid, didn't we?
Yeah, we know.
Gon's like, at what point would touching the bubble have been a good idea?
I was like, hey, Gon. Hey, Gon. You should try to touch the bubble.
No. Thank you, though.
Do it now.
Gon touches the bubble.
Oh, no.
So we're going to kind of like cut scene away from these shenanigans, which are hilarious, but we have a story to tell. And you are awoken in the morning as Anger Jack points out the first of many quote unquote sights that he wants to show you. The first one is a very interesting rock, which he likes and always stops. Whenever I come by here, I always stop by this rock. Very, very interesting. Look how this side is very flat.
also very, very flat.
Is this the same rock that attacked you?
I'm still very confused on the whole rock situation.
I would say this is more of a boulder than a rock. You're probably right there. But no, it's, look how flat. And he just, you kind of circle it for a good hour until he kind of, you appreciate the flatness of one side of the rock before he sails on. Another, you know, 5 hours later, you're kind of awoken from your daze, or maybe you're sort of playing cards or something, as he passes by a school of fish. Now, there's been many schools of fish, but apparently these fish are particularly... These fish, they don't see them very often. In fact, I think these are attracted here by the rock we saw five... And it just goes on and on and on. There are a few things...
extremely boring.
but love this. Zalfiz is all about the information. He's taking notes.
I say that as me, not as Gon. Gon is interested too, but like, I just like the whale.
He's not just boring, but he won't move on until you've all exclaimed in delight.
Wow!
I feel like Kestra's an expert at this. Having raised two sons, she's done that parent thing of, yes, darling, that's lovely.
You know that Nass, she said very rude things about these fish. And that rock, if you can believe it. Not the rock, the boulder, if you can believe it. She wasn't interested at all. Got very sharp with me. If you can believe
it. Is there anything worth saying? But it takes a long time to say.
But 3 days later, he is drifting over quite a deep ravine. And he says, down there is the mysterious ruins of the lost city of Austria. I think that's how it's pronounced. The lost city of the frost giants. I believe many, many years ago, before the current civilizations, before Netherrall, before anyone else, really, the giants and the dragons ruled the world. Down there is one of their cities, but it's not as interesting as the sites I've been showing you, so I think we'll just leave that. Whoa. And it begins to kind of float on.
Mr. Duke, how old are you?
Not as old as those giants who built the city down below. Oh, no. Human years, I'd probably be very...
Technically speaking, human years and gnome years and whale years are all the same because it's all based on our plane going around the sun. Actually, I don't know how it works in D&D. I was realizing that by doing that sentence. I was like, I was going to sound really smart, but that's Earth, not D&D.
You're mixing up your worlds, dude.
We go round the sun, then don't we crash into the celestial spheres that the spell jam? A whale probably wouldn't know that. Nass was going on about something.
Maybe at another time we can visit that city. But for now, we can continue on.
You must
tell us more about this flat rock,
Zalfiz.
Yeah, tell me more about this rock.
Well, I mean, actually, you do glimpse the city below, and it is strange and incredible, you know, this sort of cyclopean landscapes of enormous sort of pyramid structures, and you do see something faintly glowing below, like pulsing with a sort of greenish light.
Welcome to Innsmouth.
Yeah, I was going to say, Cthulhu shows up and...
This is where the fishy giants come from. That giant has eyes that are slightly too far apart.
Oh, that's a Sinkyard reference, is good.
But if anyone wants to give me not an investigation roll, sorry, it'd be a perception roll, if you want to see if you can spot anything down there.
Hell yeah.
100%.
Perception's plus 5. Maybe I can actually make a good roll tonight.
Oh, why would you say that?
Because I'm going to roll a nat 20.
I'm going to attempt it, but I don't
think I have. I rolled a 2 plus 5. Rolled a 7.
Yeah. Oof. A lot of bad rolls.
We're underwater, you know, it's understandable.
It's a 4. Am I going to get it right? No. Yay!
Who's that? He rolled the 12. Oh, Zalfiz. 16. So what did you get? 16. Okay,
no, I rolled 16 as well.
Oh, sorry.
I rolled 12. 12 plus 4.
Yeah, there you go.
So as the other two are squinting at this kind of sort of flashing green light in the depths, you have both noticed an enormous shadow has kind of swum up from the edge of the canyon and is trailing you. This thing is enormous. You think it must be at least 30 foot long, swimming below you, kind of out of Angerjuk's sight, almost in its shadow, and it's getting closer.
There's always a bigger fish. So I'm going to alert Whale. You know, the rocks are cool and all, but I think we're being...
No. I mean, I am a whale.
A narwhale, technically not a whale, surely.
Narwhale.
Narwhale. I mean, that is a name that I... And he begins to kind of expel loudly and
so... Another swim.
So much.
We're being hunted, I'm pretty sure. That thing right there, can you see it?
Absolutely not listening to you at all, but from you can see this thing now, and I think what we're probably going to do is move to our map. So I don't know if Aram, if you're listening.
We didn't know there was maps. We're all going to die. When maps come, we die.
It's true.
The map. Yeah, but there's not much we can do. We have the space of the bubble to move.
Okay, so can you see the map? Is that a thing?
Where should we find
on the right one?
We would just make go to speaker view and then
you would
do,
find it on roll 20.
I leveled up
or roll 20.
So get our map working.
Oh,
sorry. Yep. Perfect. Okay, yes. So you can move your characters. I'm happy to move it for you. Moving through the darkness below is an absolutely enormous shark.
Oh, cool.
This thing is incredible, and it's zooming towards you at blistering speed, going for Angerjuk's sort of hind... Do whales have hindquarters? I don't know. But I'd like everyone to roll me initiative, if that's okay.
Quarters is based on limbs, so I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either, though. So give me a shout-out.
Okay, initiative it is.
Yeah, initiative. Yeah, here we go. Plus one, I think.
Excuse me.
Okay, yeah. Shout them out as you do them.
It's a good one to roll a one on. I got nine.
Nine. Graham.
Wow. I got 11.
Okay, nice.
10 plus one.
Hands are really cold.
I rolled an 18, 16 plus two. Get to him.
Wow, nice. And Kestra?
I rolled 5.
Okay, and let's see if I can get rolling for this giant shark.
Cool, it's a shark. We just found out, lads.
Well, you can see.
He just said that.
More than once.
Owen.
I was focused on my initiative.
Okay, so he gets a 4. So you've got some time to react. What do you want to do?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Good question.
Let me look at my spells and see what I can actually do.
I'm like, how does all these work underwater?
I have a harpoon, so I'm just going to use that.
Okay, so top of the initiative anyway, so that would be Zalfiz, we're on
yes.
You.
I don't know how spells work underwater, but fuck it, let's try this, why not? I'm going to, so I see like it's trailing behind us, so I'm going to try and fire and slow it down, kind of constrict it. I'm going to fire web at it.
Oh, nice, okay. So what does it need?
So it's a 16 saving throw.
Okay, let's give it a go.
And what I'm going to do, so it's coming out of the ravine. Can I anchor it to the ravine?
Okay, so it fails the saving throw. So it's basically in water. So this enormous web sweeps out of your hand, flies through the web, and spreads out in the water like a fishing net, and enwraps its face. And it begins to kind of swirl in the water, angrily biting it, spiraling and spinning and trying to get itself out, but still coming on towards you. And it's kind of like biting through it crazily.
So a creature restrained by the web uses its action to make a strength check against the spell's DC save, which is 16.
Ooh, very nice. Okay.
But yeah, that's actually... with that, I think that's my goal. I'm going to just like... I think we can just... leave now? He's distracted.
Angerjuk goes, "There's a shark trailing us. That thing, I've never seen anything so big. It's probably from the Sahooligan bloody sea devils below. They're after us. Quick, let's go." And he begins to sweep through the water at an increased pace. Not faster than the shark, I will say. Next up, we have, gone with your 11.
Yeah, the shark is currently restrained against a rock, correct?
No, no, it's just wrapped up in the webs. It's not restrained at all. It's still going towards you.
Yeah, okay.
So, I can't anchor the web, like, to spell.
There's nothing to anchor it to.
Okay.
To anchor it to.
All right, I'm going to cast Conjure Animals.
Okay.
And I'm going to conjure two giant octopuses.
Okay.
One of which is going to... Do they get to act on this turn, actually? Or can I just use a spell to conjure them?
I think you probably need to wait till next turn. I wonder if I have any octopuses. I'll check my roll 20 library. Okay. It will be next turn. Okay.
Okay. So there's two giant octopuses that are now trailing us, between us and the shark.
I really apologize for this.
Oh, wow, okay. I see.
Why is the shark blushing?
Yeah, why is the shark...
It's the reflection of the bright red octopuses with pirate hats.
Multiple weapons and a pipe.
That's all I've got. I apologize.
Is the assumption that if you fill the shark's belly, it'll leave us alone? Is that what's going on?
Okay. Graham.
I'm just going to chuck a harpoon and aim for the engines. Wait, no. I'm going to try and harpoon it, which is my short bow equivalent. So, yeah.
Okay, give me that range attack.
Try. And a terrible roll. I rolled a 10.
Okay, that's not going to do it. You basically, you kind of have to get to the back of the bubble. And you launch your harpoon through the water, and it does seem slowed, obviously, by the change of medium, but crashes into the shark's skin and just bounces off and falls into the darkness below. Kestra, I think it's you. Let me just check the initiative. Yes, you're before the shark.
Kestra is... concerned about this shark, and I think she's going to go for Eldritch Blast.
Oh, nice. Okay. How does your Eldritch Blast manifest?
I'm trying to think back now to the very first episode of what I said.
It's been
remember.
A long. You may have
continuity.
I'm going to make it up.
Don't worry about continuity.
I imagine for her, it's this deep, kind of red, almost fiery-looking light. It's not fire, but it manifests. It looks like that with her infernal heritage. Which means it's going to look really cool cutting through that water.
Oh yeah, incredible contrast against the inky black.
It's going to match really nicely with the red octopi. So I think I get two beams.
You do, yeah, at level 8.
I'm not used to playing warlocks, so I roll separately for them, I think. So that's the first one.
Rolls have been rough as anything this evening.
First one.
14 is a hit.
Ooh.
And 9 for the second one.
That's not it, so just one hit.
So that is...
1d10
plus 4.
Okay, we
get a
good chase music.
Yeah.
A little bit of a doom, 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 doom.
Points of force damage.
Oh, very nice. And the shark kind of begins to twist and scream in agony as this sort of burn mark appears along its side, the side of its back. It's the shark's go. It gets plus 6 to strength to try and get itself out of the webs. Let's see how it does.
Oh, God.
Yeah. 21. So it rips itself free, but that is its action. And suddenly you are struck, or at least seemingly struck, by a barbed arrow crashing through the bubble from above and bumping straight into Gon, the largest target. So Gon, you've been hit by this barbed arrow, which luckily only kind of grazes you for 3 points of damage.
That's fine.
There's another arrow strikes down towards Graham at the back of the boat. With a 13 to hit, Graham?
Nope.
And you see, like, squinting through the water, there are these strange fist-like creatures. Their skin is a mottled green colour, and their faces twisted with anger, like enormous fish themselves, but in sharp, I just don't want to do Monty Python, but sharp pointy teeth. And there are five of these creatures. One of them seems to be a bloated monstrosity with four arms, extremely large and hanging back. And another one, two of them are clutching shields, and they launch themselves towards you through the water at really quite a scary speed. And they will act upon...
are they passing octopus by any chance?
Sorry?
Are they passing by octopus by any chance?
No, they have come from above. These are Sahooligan.
They're hooligans.
Yeah.
That's definitely how you pronounce it.
They're knighted hooligans. They're knighted hooligans.
So there are five of them. They're above you. You see them through the darkened water. Two below, like I think.
A tight formation, kind of just coming down directly above us in the water, not above the water.
Above the whale, they're above you in the water.
Yeah.
There's three to one side, although there's this sort of like large one, this bloated one is hanging back. You see one's hanging back with a bow as well, and there's two on the other side. But yeah, they're coming from above. And it's top of the round, it's Zalfizz.
Okay, so Zalfizz, after like 14 episodes, has realized he's kind of playing a support character, and I'm going to start doing some supporting. So the larger group, you said three of them are kind of tightly knitted together, is it?
Have a look on the map.
This is a hooligan. I have too many fucking maps open. Okay, so fair enough. 10 feet. Am I going to get rulers out? I'm trying to remember what a ruler is in this.
It's the little circle with the. It's just one above the dice rotor.
Okay, cool. I'm going to aim at this guy here.
Okay, so the one with the bows, but just fired down at the two of you.
Yeah, and I'm going to cast Fairy Fire, so it'll catch all three of them.
Oh, is nice.
If it'll...
This is one of those few times where we're not all standing next to the enemy, so you can...
Fairy Fire doesn't do damage directly to you, it just makes you way more vulnerable. If it
Yeah. So they get a dex save, don't they?
DC 16 for a dex save.
Okay, so it looks like two of them passed, a 16 and a 17, but the one with a 7 failed. And I'll mark the one that failed.
Mm-hmm.
The one with a bow.
Cool.
Okay, nice. Can Lady Pen do anything this round?
No, that is part of my action if I need to go out with her, so that is my nice. Go.
Okay. Gone.
Yeah, I would like one giant octopus to go and attack the shark.
Okay, nice.
So it's got to make a DC 16, I'm assuming, strength saving throw.
Okay.
Basically, I go to attack it with the tentacles.
10, fail.
Can be of multi-attack.
Cool. do they? No, they don't actually have multi-attack. But
in
okay.
arms. Come on, wizards. Sort it out. Sort out, wizards.
I think I just have to hit it, actually.
Okay.
The target is a creature. Yeah, okay. So I need to hit it first. So it's not grappled yet. Let me roll. Okay. What is it? Plus 5 to hit. Can I have advantage because it's restrained?
No, it's not restrained anymore.
It broke out.
Oh, it broke out? Yeah, I thought it failed. All right, I rolled a 18 plus 5.
That's a hit.
Okay, so that is 2d6 plus 3, and he is restrained. He has to make a DC 16 to escape.
Oh, nice. And so you're trying to hold it back as Angerjuke tries to escape?
Basically, yeah. Nice. I got to do 2d6 to damage it. And then I'm basically going to do the same thing to... I've done 12 damage to it.
Nice, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other octopus is going to swim up to the other two, to this group that we just shot at up here.
Yeah.
That Owen just shot at, and he's going to use Ink Cloud.
Oh, wow, okay. Ooh.
So he's got a 20-foot radius of ink extends all around the octopus if it's underwater. So the octopus is going to swim right to here. Yeah. And Ink Cloud around it.
Okay.
So the guy with the bow has got nothing.
Yeah. And
so would they need to make a saving throw?
No, they just need to get out of the ink
cloud. Just obscures the area. Okay, nice. Yeah,
so they can't see anything. And after inking, the octopus gets a dash action, so he's just going to dash towards Angerjuke so that he's nearby. And other than that, none of my spells can work in the current situation, so I'll
I got a plan, don't worry, I got a plan.
I'll chill there with the octopus ready to defend if need be, and the other one grappling onto the big shark.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, so here's the ink cloud.
Nice.
Does it need to be a bit bigger? It probably does, doesn't it?
I think it's a 20-foot radius.
So yeah, yeah, that's about right, isn't it?
Nope.
Oh, 20-foot radius?
Yeah. Oh, it's a big ink cloud.
That's all of us in the picture.
Okay, so Angerjuke begins to swim on, leaving behind the shark and the octopus. It is, I think it's Curran's go. Graham.
Yeah, I'm going to take out my short bow and try and shoot one of these guys on the just south of our whale. I think the two that are not engulfed in the ink.
Nice, okay, there you go. The ones with shields.
The ones you can see.
Yeah, the ones with shields. The ones I can see, there you go. And I will attempt to hit one of them with my short bow. Oh no, rolled a 10, so that's definitely not a success.
Okay.
Bad. Like, really bad.
Okay, so, Kestra.
I have a GM question.
Yeah.
Are these things considered humanoids?
Yes.
In which case then, for both of them, I'm going to cast a third level hold person and attempt to paralyze them. So hopefully it makes them easier targets and they can't do anything to us. Maybe they'll just get drifted away by the current.
Perfect. Okay, give me that roll.
So I think you make a saving throw. Wisdom saving throw.
And Wisdom.
LBC is somewhere.
Something like
15, 16,
probably.
Oof. 15. Okay, basic. So one's passed and one's failed. Angerjuke is going to probably outrun them. Basically, you have succeeded in grappling the shark, blinding the hooligan, including their bloated leader. You've paralyzed one of their champions. The last champion has kind of seen everyone else being let trailed behind, and Angerjuke has managed to escape all of them. That was incredible. I was expecting that to be. I mean, the giant shark alone can rip Angerjuke apart. You've made it through. And he breathes a sigh of relief, which you feel as a vibration along the entire back of the, entire floor of the minibus that you're on.
The way the sound effects are fantastic.
And we can leave the map. Thank you, Aram. All right there, my friends. I thought we'd had it. That was incredible. In fact, I will take that as payment for taking you to this terrible place. Right. And he begins to rise through the water, which
before
you notice...
Before he rises, sure. Yep. So, because we're going to rise...
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Just saying, the water around him is noticeably slushy, like it is freezing.
Like, so deeper down?
Well, no, he's going up.
I mean, like even below the surface, though, it's, like, slushy.
As you begin to rise, it's like right. Rising into slush.
So, before we come anywhere near the island or start, like, rising up into it, I'm going to, like... Again, with talking to Angerjuke, because one of the other guys is like, look, so I probably should have done this earlier, and I might have helped in the fight back there, but I think technically I can make all of us invisible.
You can do one?
Which would probably help us get onto this island. If I cast a spell, it makes one creature and anything is carrying invisible... for up to an hour as I've reread my spells.
Oh my god.
That is an incredible twisting of the rules.
It's not. Hold on. How dare you accuse me of cheating? It says, I'm going to read this. Here's a question for you, Joel.
Was that angry?
A creature you touch becomes invisible until the spell ends. Anything that target is wearing or carrying, both of which you could be doing to us, is invisible as long as on the target's person.
That's fair. That completely sounds right.
Rob never agrees with me.
This whale's our version of like the invisible plane.
I'm all for it. Yeah, you're gonna be Do you want to cast it now? I mean, hold
off with your spell casting, young creature. As we approach the island, I believe we're safe from the rock's passage. Auriel and her flying bird creature only leave the island near midnight as they fly over the dale to cast their spell. So, when I was last here, we entered the island at midnight. Nas didn't want to risk getting the Frost Maiden's ire, so she made me approach at the most dangerous time. But don't you worry, little man. We are approaching midday, I'd say. I don't think there's any chance of the rock seeing me, and I'll drop you off. We're at the southern tip of the island. There's a nice boat I could just leave you on. It's an old pirate ship, I believe.
From you have there, an interesting fact about this pirate ship?
It's not interesting at all. No interest in pirate ships.
Thank you very much, Mr. Angaduke, and your meta information. That is very handy to save my spell.
It's fine. I'm just trying to move the story forward. I've been doing this for an hour and 50 minutes. Really, we've only gone from A to B.
You're like, I want you to hurry up, but also here's a shark and five dudes.
You can't resist to you. Whenever you can say Sir Hooligan, you've got to have that in there.
I feel like we should kneel like he's a fucking king. Sir Hooligan. Brave Sir Hooligan.
Well, yeah, they're very good.
We are the Sir Hooligans of Innsmouth.
So he begins to rise up through the darkness, and he is right. It probably is around midday as he approaches a large, I guess, pirate. I mean, it is a pirate ship, but the front half is completely buried in the ice. But you look closer, it's not ice, it's just almost frozen water, and he swims through it, pushing aside huge chunks of frost and this sort of hoary ice, until you can all jump on to the sort of rear deck. I don't know the name of boat stuff, of the aft deck, where the steering wheel is.
The hell. I grew up by the sea. I don't even mind about both of them. You're like Star Trek. It's all the same stuff. It's all the same stuff in Star Trek.
And you leap on board the frozen decks, the frozen deck, and you can see from there the 50-foot-high cliffs disappearing up into the fog above. And within probably 20 foot of the boat itself is a dock, but this is no normal dock. This is a dock of cyclopean, of colossal stature. The steps leading up to it are each at least 5 foot high, and the dock itself towers 50 foot above, sorry, it would have been 40 foot above you, just below the cliffs themselves. They are broken, the steps, and you can see that this structure has survived millennia, and it shows wear and tear, but they are still there, and you can still see evidence of the ancient giant civilization. So I'll just drop you here then. I am willing to wait below. Don't really fancy fighting against the Sir Hooligan menace anytime soon, and I have heard there are some tasty morsels below, and perhaps a flat rock for me to go and explore. But I cannot wait forever. How long do you wish to stay on Auriel's island?
We don't know how long this might take.
We could hedge our bets. 2 weeks?
I'm not waiting that long.
Why don't you wait for as long as you can, and we can call for you when we're finished here? And if you've already gone, then you've already gone. But if you're around,
do you have magic that can reach to my ears below the depths?
I can turn into a creature to come down to you. One of my octopus can come find you.
or I can just do a massive thunder wave in the water. If you hear a loud bang, that's us.
Where I can create big, loud sounds.
How about we just say we aim for 24 hours?
If you hear something that scares you real bad, that's us.
I think I should
Jack
be able to
Bauer.
Replicate the bell with my thaumaturgy.
Yeah, probably not its exact effect, but you could certainly mimic its sound.
Yeah, the sound.
Yeah.
So
all right, then. I will listen out for you, and I will stay as long as I can. But these waters are dangerous, as you've seen, and really, I don't dare wait too long in the Frost Maiden's abode. Nas said that she can sense anything that enters the boundaries of above and below, and I don't want to risk her ire. But I'll wait as long as you can.
That felt like perfect information.
Where does this boundary start?
Yeah, like, you could have listened before we pass the boundary, just saying.
It's like, get off of the island, also know that she knows you're here.
you don't need to cast invisibility because she won't see us, but now she knows you're here.
All good.
Well, I won't risk going on the island myself, and I certainly won't be going under the shelf it stands on. But I wish you luck. It has been a pleasure knowing the four of you. You have been most obliging in listening to my tales, and if you survive, I will tell you many a story of the flat rocks and strange things I find below.
Thank you.
We're not talking the past tense, knowing. You still know us. Are we not talking the past tense? This isn't over.
Yeah, you're talking like you think we're going to die here.
Well, as I said, it'll be good to see you again. And he sort of rolls onto his side and flaps one.
A tear rolls out from his eyes, things were dead, basically. Yeah.
I was like, why did it have a... It had a eulogy vibe to it, didn't it? Like...
God.
As the icy bitter wind sort of flows across you, you do wonder if you've made quite the mistake as you stare up as the icy cliffs above. And I think that is where we will end tonight's episode. So thank you so much, everyone, for watching. And thank you, all of you, for playing. It's been an absolute pleasure tonight. And we will be back next week to find out exactly what happened. My name is Joe Tre. If you can find more of me at HWR Podcast on Twitter, and I've got my own account, which is at Joe the GM. And you can find all our episodes of Rime of the Frostmaiden, Curse of Strahd, and numerous Call of Cthulhu adventures, and our long-running Call of Cthulhu campaign as you head to Serpent on howwerollpodcast.com. Owen, thank you so much for playing and listening. We'll do our end of game show very soon. But before we do that, how can people find more of you?
People can find more of me all over the internet at How We Roll Owen. If you're listening on podcast, Owen is Eoghan. I'm on Twitch and Twitter, that handle. I'm also in our Discord, and the Does It Roll Discord, How We Roll Discord. pretty much any How We Roll Owen you find is me. Mm-hmm. I may be a little quiet for a couple of weeks while I'm trying to fix my new computer up, or old computer up, or whatever I need to do. But if you find me anywhere on the internet, send me a message if you want to ask me anything or give out about how I play.
Nice. Niall, again, absolute pleasure to play you tonight. How can people find more of you?
People can find me on the How We Roll Discord, on the Does It Roll Discord, and I also have a at HWR Podcast Niall Twitter account that, yeah.
And every no Sunday here, that. Being gone.
And every Sunday here.
No trace.
Transforming into animals.
And Curran, again, a pleasure to play with you. How can people find more of you?
I think you can find me on Twitter at Curran_J. That's KURAN_J. Or you can find me on the Does It Roll or How We Roll Discords. Or here.
And
on
course,
Sundays.
playing Ethan on Two Headed Serpent.
That is true, yeah. I'm going to play the Ethan South African big game hunter, and he likes to get up to shenanigans with Giles, you know. Just pew, pew, pew.
and our last player tonight, again, thank you so much, Virginia, for joining us again. It's great to have you back, and you fit in perfectly with the group.
Thank you for having me back. I really like Kestra as a character, so I'm glad, and there's stuff going on, and I'm invested, and I also want to see what these terrible trials have got to bring. You can find me on Twitter at tabletop pod, I think, as a name. somewhere down here. And on Twitch, under the same name, I play video games. If you want to see me get sassy about The Walking Dead, I play that on Mondays.
Nice. And I've checked out your stream a few times. It's fantastic. I recommend it to all. And last but by no means least, Ram, are you able to talk to people?
I am able to talk.
Woo! Fantastic. How can people find more of your stuff?
No, tech issues.
What have we got coming up?
Well, you can find everything.
Obviously, we need to share.
Yeah. Well, you can find everything I do at Vardian. And also, I think what Joe is talking about is that I'm currently working on a Star Trek series called Star Trek Mississippi that happens 3 years after the events of The Next Generation, where warp speeds are a problem because they've been damaging the fabric of space, and Starfleet has had to basically change their whole plan, stop relying on these big, huge ships that can cover vast distances, and focus on small crews and smaller ships. So our team is one of those crews. They'll be young cadets in their final exam, graded and judged by an emergency medical hologram. And they will be aboard a small runabout ship called the Mississippi. That'll be starting as soon as we wrap up Rime of the Frostmaiden, and it will run for 6 weeks.
Really, really looking forward to that. It looks so cool.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.